This is 69 the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 11 years, first online and now as a podcast. We cover what's new and interesting, and we filter out all the BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to hear at length from people and companies who are making a real mark in the industry with new ideas or just old-fashioned hard work and smarts. You can listen to episodes online, get it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to pull down the RSS feed. I know a lot of our listeners fire up episodes while they're stuck in traffic or taking the dog for a walk. We now have a companion podcast called Projects, hosted by my longtime industry friend Michael Tutton. That show is all about digging deep on the creative and tech behind landmark projects. You can find that at dsprojects.podbean.com. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. LED billboards and signs are now commonplace, and not just in Times Square and other landmark locations in big cities. But putting in LED has its challenges. Cost is the obvious one, but there are other issues, like the engineering needed to ensure a structure can handle all the weight involved with typical LED boards. They're a lot thinner and lighter than they used to be, but with all the metalwork, plastic, and wiring, they still result in big, heavy walls. So I was intrigued by a self-funded startup out of Germany called LightenTech that has developed technology that does LED on thin, lightweight plastic rolls of film. It's light enough to just put up like a vinyl banner on some scaffolding or hang off a wall without worrying about the weight. LG showed a transparent LED film at a couple of trade shows this year, so if you're around, you might have had a rough idea of what's up here. But that was low res and one color of light, white. What LightenTech is developing is the full RGB range of millions of colors, and it does full motion video. I spoke recently with CEO Florian Kahl about this made in Germany technology. Florian, thanks for taking the time to chat with me. Can you tell me, first of all, what your company does?
LightenTech, hello Dave, first of all. Our company LightenTech is developing and manufacturing thin film digital light. We basically take PET material or pen material and put some print some cable trees onto the top of it and put LEDs on top of it and take the controlling onwards to make LED wallpaper.
So if I was one of the challenges with the podcast is it's audio and you can't see what you're talking about. If I was to picture this, this is a thin, transparent, almost like plastic film, a see-through film that you're adding a wafer of LEDs into so that you can see through it, but it creates the same effect as a proper LED wall, correct?
That's correct. It may be transparent. It may also may be opaque if it's, for instance, B1 requirement necessary. But it's, as you say, it's a thin film material and like a piece of paper, about 70 mu strength of the film. And then like we put LEDs on top of it and have a lightweight kind of LED wall.
Mm-hmm. And is it, I think I've seen in the marketing material that you tend to stress that it's temporary. Is this not something that will last in the outdoor elements for lengthy periods of time?
The reason to use it temporary is because many of the customer outside may have an interest to test the digital out-of-home market first and to gather some experience to communicate whatsoever into the public space. And we offer a solution that you may put or hang up in the on the north side of your facade in the first quarter of 2018 and in the south, west or east in the following one. So installing it and deinstalling it is extremely simple.
Okay. And you're saying north for now and other directions to follow because of brightness?
No, like the brightness, like we have now developed a 5,000 nit film, so daylight. So this is for usage during daylight as well. No, the reason is just like you may spread it the same large monitor, you may spread to different facades or to different dealers or outlets in order to be flexible. Like you do not have to depend, like once you install the wall, you keep it there for the next, let's say, 30 years. You may change it, you know, like you may surprise the people in public space that a monitor is installed today, but not any longer tomorrow.
Okay, but I'm still confused. Why north now and east, west, south later?
Oh, you mean like you could all do the very same?
Yeah.
No, like, I mean, yeah, sure, like you can do it all. No, the thing is, like, if you use it temporarily, then you use the same building, but you have a north facade, a south facade, an east facade, and a west facade.
Oh, okay. So
and like you may change it, you know, like you may go once around the building, or you take it from the one facade and at place A and take it down in like 2 hours and put it up in another facade 200 kilometers away in another 2 hours.
Okay. I thought you were saying it could go in north for now because it couldn't handle direct sunlight and then
No.
Good. Okay.
No. I just this temporary usage. No. Just the temporary usage is you may take it up and take it down,
right,
and you are extremely flexible and surprise the people that, like, not once a video wall is installed, you're going to see it tomorrow and a month later again and again. You know, like it's ready to be changed.
And it's light enough that you don't need any engineering work, extra engineering work done to ensure that the structure is not going to topple over because of the weight.
We put our thin film materials onto these regular blow-up banner materials.
Okay.
And put it into existing frames or banner lifter already installed at the facade. So we do not need anything extra, like just the existing infrastructure given, and to digitize such contents.
So you could have an older building that is surrounded by scaffolding because it's getting new windows or new this or that put on, or they're sandblasting it. And you could put your film all the way around it just on that scaffolding.
That's it.
Okay.
Correct.
So you said you're a manufacturer. So this is not technology that's coming over from China or Japan. This is made in Germany.
This is developed in Karlsruhe. This is in south of Germany. And like we are developing it now for about 2 years. And it's manufactured out of components. Like the entire supply chain is 300 kilometers surrounding Karlsruhe.
What about the LED diodes? Those would be coming from Asia though, right?
They are coming actually from Japan.
At least
like people are telling us they are coming from Japan. Nevertheless, like we are also in discussion with Osram, you know, like there are also local manufacturers. The ones that we are using right now, Nietzsche ones, manufactured, as far as we know, in Japan, at least like it's a Japanese headquarter.
Right. A lot of the talk these days around LED is around pixel pitch. What is the pitch that you can do right now?
We started with a pixel pitch of 50 millimeters or 5.0 millimeters. This is a film that we use for the inside behind diffusing materials. So you have a thin film kind of a PVC or let's say a milky glass in front. Not to put like content onto it, but like to play with light, you know, like to have animations onto it, you may say.
Right.
We now reduce the pixel pitch to 37.5 millimeter. This is for a distance to the let's say viewing party of at minimum 30 meter, and you need a minimum size of the screen of about 20 square meters. But certainly the technology that we are using is ready to have lower pixel pitches as well. But this is certainly something to be approached one after another. So we started like with a larger pixel pitch in order to serve those markets first. But certainly we are focusing to increase our pixel pitch accordingly.
I would imagine as you get more density of the LED diodes and the wiring and everything else, it's going to get a lot heavier, right?
Yeah, sure. Nevertheless, I mean, there are technologies available that you may also save again weight. So this is depending, like there are a couple of alternatives lying on the table, and this is something we need to fine-tune in the future. But the way the development path of the industry is certainly to lighter and smaller components, and we're going to check what to use of them then, finally.
What I saw at Infocom and at ISE earlier in the year from LG seemed to be similar, except it was just white LED light, and the pitch was, I don't know what the pitch was, but it was quite a large pitch. Is that similar to what you have, or how do you differ?
I mean, I saw it too. It was 40 millimeter pitch they have, and they only have white light. So they have not like RGBs. They use just bonded white LEDs. They have it's LG, like certainly they have a sophisticated technology to provide. I do not want to judge about this. Our technology is different. We offer video, like pictures or video, and full color with 16.9 million different colors. So it's different. It's a different product. The difference is as well, to my understanding, the LG needs to have a minimum, how may I call it, like a minimum distance to the controlling unit of about 50 centimeter. We need a minimum distance to the controlling unit of about 12, 14 meter. So certainly our technology is able like to be put to the outside to use as LED banner materials.
Okay. So you could have your film on a scaffolding around a building and run the signal cable and power cable inside to the playback device instead of having a weather sealed enclosure and everything else, which adds a lot more cost.
That's it. And to my understanding, LG is not approaching this market. So they have a maximum distance of, let's say, a meter maximum, what I understood.
Yeah, I mean, great company, but it looked to me like trade show booth eye candy, as opposed to this is what we're moving forward with.
My understanding was that this, what they did there, is not being done as an application. They wanted to show what is technically possible to do, you know, like not a product itself.
Right.
So it was basically more kind of a study, what could be done, but without approaching a certain market niche with a product.
Yeah, so
my understanding.
If somebody walked up to an LG salesperson and said, "Yeah, I love that. I want that now," they would say, "Well, actually, we don't have that."
Exactly, but like technological wise, this was certainly well done. I mean, it's LG again, you know. Like technological wise, it was well done. The components, the way the wiring they used was impressive. But it was not, to my understanding, meant to be a product yet. You know, like it was more kind of a look how tiny and thin the components could be to have something on a transparent material.
Do you have competitors?
I mean, we have a PCT patent registered. So like we have another 8 months to register our technology of this kind of a screen all over the world. So like it's registered now in Europe, but we are thinking of to do it the very same in the US and Asia, have another 8 months to do so. There are lots of different technologies available, you know, like how to illuminate things. I mean, you have tons of them. Nevertheless, like the way we do it, we have no competitor, and the way we do it is also protected. But certainly once the technology moves onwards, there's always other technologies going to pop up. And but like there is nobody that does what we do, at least not so far as I know by now.
Right. There are lots of companies with transparent LED, but those are all metal-based or metal or some sort of rigid plastic.
Exactly. And like a higher weight, you know, they all weigh many kilos per square meter. And our competitive advantage is that we basically have no weight, you know, like we do not weigh anything. Like it's a film, you know, that's.
So there are conceptual videos on your website, lightandtech.com, but I don't get a sense that you've done much in the way of rollouts yet. Are you in the field with much?
The background of the team, we are sign makers. So we did on our earlier professional lives, we equipped Shell station, car manufacturers, banks with corporate design elements. So pylons, dealer name letterings, and these kind of elements. So we learned until you approach the market, you better have your product really ready. And this is what we have been doing now for the last 21 month roundabout. Mm-hmm. We are now close to get really public with it. So like it's still a product that the rollout is not something we are approaching right now. What we want to do now in the next half a year, test stations in Europe to provide to the public the possibilities of what can be done in order to then start the rollout on a second stage once the experience to the final customer and to the public is given.
Okay. It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to you browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
How large a footprint could you do? Like I saw conceptual images that was a whole side of quite a large building, a nightclub building, and other ones that were sides of office towers. Are there physical footprint limitations to how large you could make one of these?
I mean, first of all, it's depending as well on what material we install it. Like if it's a PVC banner, then we are certainly limited to the size such a PVC blow-up banner can be realized. I mean, there are a couple of companies like Blow Up Media that specialized on this kind of products already. So they have sizes of, I would say, 2 tennis courts. Mm-hmm. If you put it on Alucobond material, you can certainly go larger. So also with our material. So I would say like in the size of a soccer field, we have to recalculate. But up to then, like it's without any problems. But depending on the surface you are installing our thin film material onto.
Could you apply directly to an office tower that its curtain is all glass, its curtain wall?
The transparent film that we do have is not clear. So it's a light transmission, but actually our 5000 candela film is a kind of brownish opaque. So like for the outside usage, for the inside version, we have a transparent version, but this is not really clear. This is still something we are working on. But in principle, you could do it, install it onto a plant surface, such on glass. However, not in a transparent mode for the time being, not in a clear mode, let's put it this way.
So you couldn't quite do the whole Blade Runner thing where it's on the sides of buildings, unless it was the side of the building that didn't have windows.
That's it. Like we are concentrating, for instance, on malls, on the walls of malls. But glass facade are a bit different. Like this is still something we are approaching to as well. But this is going to take another couple of months to develop.
So I guess in a lot of ways, it's not much of a problem because there's lots of bare walls out there in commercial real estate.
That's it. To be very honest, always this transparent issue is being brought up to the table. But if you then question it a bit further and say, okay, what is the size? Like at the end of the day, most people say, no, I do not necessarily want to have it on a glass facade, basically a regular wall or a regular facade is very much of interest, and that such banner solutions where you are able like to change it, you know, like you already have a permission and you just put it up, leave it there for a month and then take it down and put it somewhere else. This is by far much more of interest if you are going deeper into the thing. Therefore, we decided that transparent development is not being pushed too much. The brightness and the pixel pitch, the reduced one, this was by far more important.
Right. And the flexibility and overall weight that you can take these things up and down.
That's it.
So in essence, you could have a, let's say, a hypermarket like Tesco in the UK or Carrefour in France or whatever, and they could have their logo on the side of a building and also do some basic marketing off of that logo because the logo is animated.
That's it. Exactly.
Interesting. One of the other things that I saw on there on your website was that you could cut the plastic film so that it doesn't necessarily have to be a certain dimension.
That's one of the important advantages. It can be cut individually, so by the end user, and can be adapted to any kind of local requirement. You know, like if you have something that needs to be cut out, then you take it and cut it out. And then afterwards, it's still working anyway, like the rest of it.
How does that work with the wiring?
The wiring is kind of a redundant matrix. So if you cut something, other, let's say, parts of this redundant matrix are taking over this one. I mean, certainly there are also areas where you basically shouldn't cut in, but most of the parts, in particular the one that are marked on the film as well, are the ones you can cut in wherever you want to.
Is that, that's because there's always more than one wire going to a diode?
That was the reason we designed the layout according to what we designed. It was that we want to have a grayish filter for the translucency of the film. But you are right. It's also this redundant matrix or this equal kind of surface is also giving this redundancy kind of an input, making it possible.
Right. You're based in southern Germany. It's not exactly known as the heartland of LED manufacturing or display manufacturing. How did you end up in this?
That's just because of our early profession, you know, like we are sign makers. Uh-huh. And that was, we all worked with analog light. So light that could not change. It was either on or off. And it was at one moment of time, it was clear that this gonna be changed in the next decade. And we always wondered, why doesn't it exist like a lightweight wall LED wallpaper to fit onto any surface and to display whatever needed, and not like a Renault lettering only be made for Renault. You know, like you can use the spaces you have outside of a point of sale and do advertisement via this media. And then because of that, we developed it. It wasn't there. It didn't exist.
And you and your team, did you first look around and see if you could just acquire this technology from Shenzhen or whatever? Or did you just see that, you know, we need to build this?
Like we already imported tons of materials from Asia. So we knew it doesn't exist, you know, or we didn't exist. You know, like if you are in the signage industry for 30 years, then you know what is available on the market. And it was clear it doesn't exist. And therefore, like we started to develop it.
There's a big engineering challenge here to do this. Again, being in a part of the world that doesn't have a lot of experience in that, was that a challenge to put together the people who could figure out how to make this happen?
There is certainly always, I mean, first of all, I have to admit the area of Karlsruhe is one of the high-tech areas in Europe, I would say. So like there are a lot of engineering competence in this area. So yeah, like we certainly, the team needs to find itself. Nevertheless, the team always looked at each other and said, yeah, we're going to make it. Like, let's start. and we just started it.
Right. Private company?
Private company.
How are you funded?
As I said, we used to be sign makers, and we sold a couple of companies that was in that business of analog signware.
Okay.
And with a sales price we received, we funded the development of the technology.
Okay, so you don't have venture capitalists who are
hovering
around wondering where things are at.
Always welcome, though. No, but to be honest, it's all self-financed, and we are now on our way to make the product ready in order to get the product on the market as well. But this also going to take some more time. But realistically, we want to do step by step, and we want to do it right. You know, didn't want to jump out in the market and provide a product that is not finished. We wanted to have it finalized.
Can you give me some sort of sense of what this might cost if somebody's listening to this and they say, when this is ready, this sounds really great. This is exactly what I want, but I have no idea whether this costs 10 million euro or half a million euro or what.
Let's put it this way. We offer it as a rental service for 300 euros per square meter per month.
Okay.
But there is one thing that needs to be understood. You know, such a thin film material, there is no material needed. You know, there are LEDs on it, certainly. You know, there's a thin film that doesn't cost anything. Then you certainly have some PCB and some cabling and so forth. So the importance is now to get the manufacturing process in a run. Mm-hmm. And the components needed are very rare because it's a film, you know, and so we calculate that a value engineering in the next 12 to 24 months will have another significant potential to downsize the manufacturing processes. So this is step by step, this will be done as well. Therefore, we started as well with a rental concept because it's offering to the people testings.
Sure.
And enable them to have a temporary modification of whatever technology they want to have. You know, we have now one customer who rented the screen, and after some time he came to the conclusion and said, no, now I want to have a video wall. But the important thing is he tested it time-wise, what he really wants. Mm-hmm. So the burden to start these kind of things is getting lower and lower.
Right.
And that's the market we are in.
What's the operating life of these things, or the target operating life? Is it 30,000 hours, 100,000 hours?
We have tested it now by Fraunhofer Institute to 3 years. Tests are ongoing. So it's still working as well. Parallel, we have it now in outdoor tests for 12 months outside usage now, also ongoing. So this is something that where we stand today, 3 years tested and 1 year outside usage, that's definitely given.
Do you get any sense of whether the operating life is affected by the numbers of times that you take or you put it up and take it back down if it is temporary and portable?
I mean, certainly it will have a kind of an impact. The installation and the deinstallation, I mean, still it's an electronical component. So the people who do it should be trained. So you should know what to do in order to not destroy the product. We are now in a situation where we have an estimation you shouldn't do it more than 50 times, so 50 times. But this is also something we are concentrating our improvements to, you know, to make it more flexible, to have connectors in between segments in order to stabilize it, the thickness of the environmental covering is still something that we are thinking of how thick to make it, you know, to have more in your hand, let's say. Mm-hmm. So that's about 50 times easily.
You would think for touring performers, rock concerts and so on, that this would be very, very attractive because these are effectively curtains that you would just unfurl and then roll back up at night instead of stacks of LEDs that you would have to erect and then dismantle.
I mean, this is one application possible. I mean, there are, if you think of, you know, like we are dreaming of equipping once a Zeppelin with a screen.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there are like there are hundreds of different applications where you could think of that light and film is something that is something interesting to move onwards. You know, like we just opened one door, but there are many, many, many more other opportunities given. Like, but we have to concentrate one after another.
Yes.
But there are unlimited potentials.
So if someone, you're still kind of putting things together. If there are people listening in North America or other parts of the world who are interested in starting a dialogue now about being a reseller, a partner, or a customer, how do they find you and who do they talk to?
I mean, first of all, they find us lightandtech.com. They talk to either me or one of my colleagues, Lutz Nehofen-Holderberg, who is also managing director of Light and Tech. If I were them, I would start contacting us via email, Skype, and the next time they are around Europe, let's meet, discuss, and see what can be done and when this can be started.
Will you be showing anything at ISE?
No, because our channels are clear, because like we are in the signage industry for a decade now, so like we do not exhibit onto these kind of events. We're going to be there, that's clear, but we won't present our technology on any trade shows. That's right. Not our sales strategy.
Okay. All right, Florian, thank you very much for the time. Very interesting.
Dave, thank you very much. And next time you're in Europe, please pay us a visit too.
Sounds like a plan.
Great. Thank you, Dave.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 The Blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.